Good afternoon. Wow. Do you need a translator, Gloria? Indeed. Well, it's been a big day. You guys are the only ones that have made it through. God bless you. You can turn that music down. Thanks. I want to read something from Jesus to start us off. This is from the Ur text of A Course in Miracles. Have you heard of A Course in Miracles? Everybody? All the separated ones have a basic fear of retaliation and abandonment. This is because they believe in attack and rejection. So this is what they perceive and teach and learn. These insane concepts are clearly the result of their own dissociation and projection. What you teach you are, but it is quite apparent that you can teach wrongly and therefore teach yourselves wrong. This is Jesus. Many thought that I was attacking them, even though it is quite apparent that I was not. An insane learner learns strange lessons. What you must understand is that when you do not share a thought system, you are weakening it. Those who believe in it therefore perceive this as an attack on them. Now, fundamentally, I'm a teacher of A Course in Miracles. If you're sitting with me, I'm under the belief that you're going to teach A Course in Miracles. At the very least, you're going to teach what you are or what you believe you are. Yes? Even in the world, as a perceptual identity, you're always utilizing the things around you to reinforce the belief systems that you have in place. My parents taught me that you should never steal. I believe that's true. And those that bump up against that belief system, you don't really want anything to do with. This is because everyone identifies himself with his thought system. And every thought system centers on what you believe you are. There's no debate about that. And in fact, there's no real discussion. If the center of your thought system is true, only truth extends outward from it. But if a lie is at its center, only deception proceeds from it. You have been a liar from the beginning. Yeah?
Yes.
So now you're being asked to look at what it is you believe. And this is where in this last paragraph here, I'll read it this. All good teachers realize that fundamental change, that only fundamental change, will last. But they do not begin at that level. Strengthening motivation for change is their first and foremost goal. It is also their last and final one. Increasing motivation for change in the learner is all the teacher need do to guarantee change. Oh, I can talk a little quieter now. Thank you. This is because a change in motivation is a change of mind, and this will inevitably produce fundamental change because the mind is fundamental. That's Jesus and his Course in Miracles. So realistically, the question always for me is, what am I doing here? And usually it'll always be, what are you doing here? Not as a way of making you feel guilty, although you may well feel guilty. The change that has to occur in your mind, because there is no possibility of changing anything outside of yourself. Now, if you can then add two and two together, you'll see that the change of your mind and nothing being outside of yourself is the fundamental change that's required for you and for all the world. But we have to start to look at what it is you believe, and this is where an honest inventory will be invaluable to you. And I guess that's the 12-step program, whatever you want to call it, but it has to be that time when you set aside to sit and look inside your mind and ask what's going on. And fundamentally, that usually only occurs when I'm in pain. Because otherwise, I'm doing all right. Dissociation and projection. So I see a guy out there in pain, and this is what I talked about the other day, true empathy. You have no idea what true empathy is. You have no idea what it's for. And Jesus has been showing me fundamentally, until you empty yourself of all of your ideas, then I am the Holy Son of God himself is just a concept. The power that's trying to be given back to you is, it's inherent in what you are. And look at how little of it you use. If all power is given you, look at the meaningless crap you get caught up in and churn over just in a day, just in an afternoon. Quite fundamentally, probably from this class, and I'm sorry for that. I'm sure I'm going to offend somebody. And I mean that literally. And this is Jesus when he expressed, man, Father, I'm sorry, these guys were doing all right until I came along. I brought the light and the truth with me and I gave it to them. The whole place is in chaos. I've stirred up a hornet's nest. That's because it makes no... You will be misunderstood. You'll be misperceived and you'll be taken out of context and you'll be thrown out of town. What about it? Now, when I started to look at the idea of forgiveness for this this week and this talk that I'm giving now, Jesus said you can't start looking at forgiveness until you look at the attraction of guilt. It's like, whoa, hang on. The attraction of guilt? Come on. Doesn't make any sense, because you won't understand what forgiveness is really for or who it's really for until you look at the fundamental attraction you have for your ability to push, project, or dissociate from the thoughts that are all around you all the time. This is the attraction of guilt. I don't know if you, I'm not going to read much of it. I'll read slowly with a slight Spanish accent. La attraction of guilt. Chapter 19. This is the obstacles to peace. And for those of you who need some homework tonight, the obstacles to peace. Because this is where it's always fundamental for me. I'm always only looking at the blocks to the awareness of love's presence. In that sense, I'm coming at it from the other side, because I could sit here and go, well, you're love and I'm love. And that would be true. What are you doing here? Oh, you ready to go? New translator in? The attraction of guilt produces fear of love. For love would never look on guilt at all. It is the nature of love to look upon only the truth, for there it sees itself, with which it would unite in holy union and completion. As love must look past fear, so must fear see love not. For love contains the end of guilt, as surely as fear depends on it. Love is attracted only to love. Overlooking guilt completely, it sees no fear. Now that's nice, because that's an indication to you that when you're concerned, when you're worried, okay, you're obviously not utilizing the love that you are. Does that make sense? Because it just said love looks past, doesn't see fear at all. Okay, this is, I want this to be really fundamental to you, because this is how these tools, or the tool of A Course in Miracles, has been given me for the change of my mind. If this is not completely practical to you in the situation you find yourself in right here and now, then it's useless. It is of fundamental no value to you whatsoever. And that's the way I critique in terms of the stuff I look at online and things I need to read. It is either completely utilizable or it's meaningless. And that's why you are the one that has to put it to the test. I can tell you this book saved my life. I don't know how that's going to help you in those moments when you're pushed up against yourself and the fear is so paralyzing you can't move sideways. And without a miracle, without the ability to stop for a moment and just go, hold on a second. Remember, the change is a fundamental change of mind. I love it. I'm glad you guys are here. Being wholly without attack, it could not be afraid. Once again, these are little markers that you can use. Jesus is indicating to you, when you're afraid, you're utilizing a thought system that is delusional. He expressed that before. You can teach yourself wrongly. All power is given you. Fear is attracted to what love sees not, and each believes that what the other looks upon does not exist. Fear looks on guilt with just the same devotion that love looks on itself. And each has messengers which it sends forth and which return to it with messages written in the language in which their going forth was asked. What are you asking for? Now the reason why, see, the simplicity of looking at guilt before you can really look at forgiveness or your attraction to it, fundamentally you believe that Jesus Christ gave up his life for your sins. You believe that his physical body was destroyed so that you could be saved. Now look at the guilt associated with that idea. So now you've got this guy that had to suffer and go through pain because of who you are. This is at the core of your Christianity. This is at the core of a whole thought system sprung up from a single mind. And until you get to the core of it, forgiveness is meaningless. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Anybody having questions? What? Yeah. That's the core of the Christian teaching, absolutely. Well, have a listen to this, because Jesus is speaking directly to you. I am made welcome in the state of grace, which means you have at last forgiven me. For I became the symbol of your sin, and so I had to die instead of you. To the ego, sin means death. And so atonement is achieved through murder. Come on. Salvation is looked upon as the way by which the Son of God was killed instead of you. Yet would I offer you my body, whom I love, knowing its littleness? Or would I teach that bodies cannot keep us apart? Mine was of no greater value than yours, no better means for communication of salvation, but not its source. Oh, sorry, I jumped to the end. 17. Two paragraphs from the end and just go back and then read forward. No one can die for anyone's sins. Death does not atone for sin. But you can live to show it is not real. Part of the fundamental problem you're going to have as a teacher is you're dealing with a mind that is still in a dissociative, projective modus operandi. So there's no point saying it's not real. Because I understand you're already struggling with the reality of it because of who you think you are. But that's okay. I'm not trying to take that away from you. I'm trying to show you that that thinking, that thought system is not reasonable. Not if there's an eternal, all-loving, all-powerful God. Do you see that? See, it just, and that's where fundamentally the change has to occur in my mind and then be extended outward. And that's why it doesn't make any difference whether I'm misunderstood, whether I'm rejected. My message is always going to be the same because I'm always going to be teaching myself. And then the question is what do you want to learn? What do you want to know? And it doesn't have to be, I mean, this can be really simple. I just want to know the truth. I don't want, well, whatever it is, I don't know who I am. I don't know what I'm doing here. Father, I need help. We have to get right back to the basics before forgiveness has any real meaning to you. You didn't do anything wrong. Is this okay? This is A Course in Miracles. You can take it or leave it. I'm just reading what it says. But you can live to show it is not real. The body does appear to be the symbol of sin while you believe that it can get you what you want. Here we go. While you believe that it can give you pleasure, you will also believe that it can bring you pain. To think you could be satisfied and happy with so little is to hurt yourself and to limit the happiness that you would have calls upon pain to fill your meager store and make your life complete. This is completion as the ego sees it, for guilt creeps in where happiness has been removed and substitutes for it. Communion is another kind of completion which goes beyond guilt because it goes beyond the body. Boy. See, you're bringing yourself with you wherever you are, wherever you go. And this is what I love about the realism of what's being offered to me here. I fundamentally do believe there's pleasure to be found in the body. We have a cafe over there that sells fantastic coffee. Is that coffee for your mind? The meals we prepare, you know, like, I don't want to get too distracted with the idea, but somewhere you have to see that, oh my God, everything here is like, sheesh. I'm wearing clothes to stop the sun from burning me. I'm wearing shoes to stop things from poking in my feet. It goes on and on. And that's based upon a thought system which is predicated on the idea that this form association is my reality. And this is where we find ourselves. The teaching would indicate that you're not here and what you're seeing is not there. But the fact that you struggle with it is an indication that you believe that it's there. Because guilt creeps in where happiness is gone. See, when you're fundamentally happy, and see, this is the paradoxical nature of it. Until you question the nature of your reality and the fact that you're not happy, you can't know the truth. But having found the truth, that acceptance is all the joy there could be. That's what you have to offer. But that's based on the transformation of your mind. That's not you teaching that body to me about how crappy the body is. That doesn't, I mean, everyone knows that. It's a, geez. If we can come to an agreement about anything, it's like how ridiculous this thing is. It needs constant maintenance. It needs fuel to keep moving. It needs 8 hours of sleep. It goes on and on. It's ridiculous. There's no real argument about that. Somewhere there's an alternative. And as a teacher of God, this is what you're being asked to offer, with no regards to the results. Because this is a required course. And that I didn't have to make up. It's here in the book, very first page. If I wasn't in a fundamental need of an answer to myself, a book telling me it's a required course would have been thrown out the window. The first thing I'd say, I would have, poof. Because of my innate authority problem. And when your mind starts to get a little light into it, and when you start to awaken to the truth of who you are, then anything less than wholeness is, man, it's just, I'm sorry you believe that, but that's not how it is for me. So let's have a look at forgiveness. Am I too loud? Does it sound too loud? Should I start yelling? So far everyone's in agreement with me. We'll sort you out in a minute. Oh, this is, sorry. The Shadows of the Past. Ooh. Chapter 17, Section 3. It's okay, you can breathe. Yeah, it's been a big day. There's a lot of light. And when you come from outside the parameter into this, I'll call it a focus of non-denial, it's disruptive on a very cellular level. That's okay. You are in a process, whether you like it or not, just because you're in this vicinity. And you can say, oh no, nothing happens to me. I show up and, no, it's too late. Remember? He just told you, it's funny because he told me in chapter 19 that I'd forgiven him. So that's already accomplished. So now that I'm free of guilt, let's see what he has to say about the shadows of the past. To forgive is merely to remember only the loving thoughts you gave in the past and those that were given you. All the rest must be forgotten. Now, a nice thing here, I'll enunciate, or something that may help you, is if you don't hang on to any of your ideas of what you think love is. Because the truth of the matter is you have no idea. Everything that is true now and will always be true. You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to sort it out. Forgiveness is a selective remembering based not on your selection, for the shadow figures you would make immortal are enemies of reality. Be willing to forgive the Son of God for what he did not do. So look in your mind. This is where the workbook becomes so helpful. But it's only helpful if you're honest and if you actually make application of the idea in the shit that you're in. Do you understand that? Otherwise, you'll carry it around, you'll dissociate from it. and you wonder why you've been feeling a little off all day, then I'll put my finger on my nose and say, honesty is that it's the key. But it's, for me, it's impossible. I have no honesty in me at all. It's a tough, to be really honest, like rigorously honest, like 12-step honest. It's a miracle. It's a miracle that I can even get close to this. The shadow figures are the witnesses you bring with you. So you remember we talked about the witnesses before? Are the witnesses you bring with you to demonstrate he did what he did not. Because you bring them, you will hear them. And you who keep them by your own selection do not understand how they came into your mind and what their purpose is. Man, I love this. See, when you sit right with that, there's no squirming off that. Oh my God, I'm the cause of my suffering. And then all I see are the witnesses to that suffering. Talk about insidious. Do you have that word in Spanish? Insidious? Insidioso. Yeah. It's in there, so deep. And in that sense, that's why we get together. Because a separate mind can't do this by himself. Why? I just told you. You've already brought all of the past with you, and now you're going to utilize them to reflect back to you how you are. Talk about need a miracle. Yeah, you're in an impossible situation. Literally. But just think of what you've been saved from. Have a look back in your mind. See, that's another thing the human condition does really well, is able to utilize his memories to go back in time and think about the future. Nothing else on this planet does that. So fundamentally, the change has to occur in you because you're bringing all of that with you. And everything from the past, all the loving thoughts, they're still there. But you don't see them because you'd rather look on your brother's guilt then see that, oh my God, I'm projecting that from myself. That's a tough gig. When you start to see you're doing that, I mean, that's cool. That's a very cool part of your transformation. But it'll also knock the stuffing out of you. Especially when, like me, I've been teaching this for so long, I'm supposed to know something and I'm supposed to be this teacher at Endeavor Academy, and I've been doing this for 10 years. And all of a sudden I catch a glimpse of it and go, oh, shit. All my credentials are just flushed down the toilet, and I'm right back at square one again. You want to see what forgiveness has to offer? It's amazing. It really is. It's... And that's why it's so impeccable, and that's why I teach it. Because fundamentally I've been changed, and it had nothing to do with me. It's you. In that sense, it is you. It's you. Whew. And now my reading starts, and everything just goes... They represent the evil. Oh, yeah. They So you don't know what they, you don't know how they crept in, and you don't know what their purpose is. Their purpose is to distract you from the joy and the happiness and the love that's all around you. They represent the evil that you think was done to you. You bring them, you bring them with you only that you may return evil for evil, hoping that their witnesses will enable you to think guiltily of another and not harm yourself. Not possible. Did we cover there's nothing outside of yourself? For you coming late, there's nothing outside of yourself. Now, let me see you look at someone guiltily. See, this is why it's completely practical. Le practicala. No, that's not it either. Le practicala. But somewhere you have to give yourself a break. Somewhere you have to learn to, because it gets really tight, and this week is going to be very intense for you guys. There's a lot of light. There's going to be a lot of teaching and a lot of whipping you into shape. You've got to learn to let it go. And the really cool thing that occurred for me this afternoon was a prayer to be completely empty. To not bring a single idea into this room with me. Nothing. That'll scare the shit right out of you. But I have to give a talk. I have to teach. I have to stand up in front of these guys and present something. Don't I have to have some idea of what I'm doing? Nope. Fundamentally, not a thing. I've got 365 lessons. I've got 1,000 pages. The joy is, I open this when I want to talk to Jesus about stuff. I open it and he speaks directly to me. And it's like, shit. Really? Really? Every time. And I won't say patience, because he has a hell of a lot of patience. He has no concern for the identity that is struggling with the necessity to open the book in order to find a solution to the problem. He doesn't care. You can be anything you want. Open the book. Have a look. Listen. Open up. There's a communication going on. It's going on eternally, constantly. And all it is ever saying is, look again. Look again. Everything's been given you. It's all here. Everything you need. This is an extension of the eternal nature of reality. But the thing that is struggling is not so in any regard. And that's why it's always hard. Because you want some credit for the struggling thing that is now developing into an enlightened being. I have become enlightened. And that's what you hear, you know. You hear giggling in the background. Now, see, Theo just walked in. He thinks I believe that. See, somewhere you got to, come on, guys, you got to laugh at the nature of this. It's ridiculous. It's absurd that you could settle for so little when so much is being offered to you. It doesn't make sense to anything in the universe. And having given you back your power, as I've just done now, all power in heaven and earth is given you in this moment. What are you going to do with it? You're in this place, and this is why I have to teach assignment. I have to teach assignment because it makes no sense otherwise. Having been relieved of the burden of myself and having been relieved of the prison that I made for myself, time and space, then I'm free to come and go as I please. Well, obviously I'm here for a reason. Does that make sense? Yeah. Or what? Someone's keeping you here? Is something happening to you that you don't not asking for? I mean, put your hand up. We'll look at it. Yeah. If you're the one guy in the room who's here because he's being held against his own will, then please put your hand up. We'll do something about it. You see what I mean? We're looking at an insane thought system that fundamentally does not make any sense. And that's why you, as the light of the world, can bring the reasonability of your own new mind. And I say that in quotes. Because you've been changed. It doesn't have anything to do with the other guy. They're just shadow figures from the past. And as you teach, you learn. Isn't it cool? Finally, you may actually have a purpose. Isn't that what you've always wanted? This is what the old man was talking about this morning on the video, was when he realized that his enemy was suffering from the same necessity to solve the problem of his identity as he was. Oh my God, you want to see what forgiveness does? Now, I've got here in brackets lesson 15, so I'm sure there's a reference to lesson 15 there. Shadow figures are the witnesses, evil. They speak, okay. So you're bringing them with you, only that you may return evil for evil, hoping that their witness will enable you to think guiltily of another and not harm yourself. They speak so clearly for the separation that no one not obsessed with keeping the separation could hear them. You've been obsessed with keeping this. Paul, good to see you. Looking good. No one obsessed with keeping it. Oh my God, I've been obsessed. Hanging on as tight as I can. Because what the hell is going to happen if you let go of your identity and I let go of mine? I don't know. But sure as hell I'm sick of this. I'm sick of the multiplicity. I'm sick of defending myself and keeping everything. I mean, that's where you've got to be. Are you sick of it? Are you sick and tired of having to struggle just to be here? Without any purpose, without any reason. These are the things you've got to look at in your own mind. They offer the reasons why you should enter into unholy alliances to support the ego's goals and make your relationships the witnesses to its power. Nice. I know it's a pretty heavy section, but it's sort of got, you know, I'm trying to bring a little bit of... Because when you start to look at it with the light and the reasonability of your, you know, of your whole mind, then you're not afraid to look at just how dark and desperate this place is. This is a dark, sick little place where killing is the name of the game and greed is the natural motivation to do anything. Guess what? It's not going to get any better. As you bring the light and the reasonability of your own mind to this dark place, holy shit. Now the chaos. The light gets in, more chaos. Oh, but I thought it was all going to be peaceful and loving and everyone would... There is no love here. There's no love here. And if you don't judge, and if you don't try and dissociate from the things that are outside of you, it'll all collapse in on you and you'll disappear. That's an experience. And I'm always reminded, Jesus says, we're just trying to get you dislodged from your fixed position here, to free you up in your own mind, in your own association, so that you can be of service to an idea greater than yourself. And you can call that payback, call it anything you want. But you have a function. And it doesn't have anything to do with a tired, sick little body struggling to make ends meet so that you can die comfortably. Yeah. And you're going to say, well, what's the alternative? Come on out and find out. This is why I'm completely empty. I can't tell you what reality is. I'm not here to tell you what love is. I have no idea. I'm constantly standing right there on the precipice. And I know that when I step back, all I get is more of Tony Schaefer. And when I step off, I'm completely free. But that's one hell of a step. But what have you got to lose? I mean, come on. You just told you're protecting a thought system that's delusional. You've been protecting a body that gives you no real satisfaction or only momentarily pleasure, but then that's going to be offset by pain. And what, now you're going to tell me, oh, I might lose something if I commit completely and give myself to God. And that's where I can, sure, okay. You've got a lot to lose. I would stay right where you are and don't do anything. But this is a required course. And this is where I can relax in my necessity for a result, because I trust that you will fulfill your function. And don't ask me how the hell I developed that, because normally I wouldn't trust you with a 5-cent watch. Somewhere I'm relieved of the burden of being concerned about whether Nellie is going to do her function. That's a miracle. That's friggin' crazy. Because, like, I'm a complete control freak. And I'm sure Nellie's going to screw it up somewhere along the line. So I better just take control of Nellie's job as well as mine. Because it's just better that way, Nellie. Oh, and then there's Gloria. Shit. And now we're into it. And you wonder why you're carrying the weight of the world. See? That's why you need to be relieved. Like, you need to be just, we can just pry a couple of fingers off and just get you to float back a little bit. You'll see that there's nothing to fear. And as Theo would tell you, the fix is in. So when that fear rises up in you, fall back. Just let go. Fall back into it. Stop resisting the fear and fall into it. It's literally the last thing you will do as a human being. You will be born again. See, the funny thing is I was talking to Maddie about this, and this is the idea of the master teacher being the great enabler. Because when you see your brother in pain, you really can't stand it. And I would do anything to not have you be in pain. And as much as your devastation is required, I would do anything not to have you suffer any more than you have. It's like, and the truth is the bottom has been raised up. But I don't know what you need. I don't know what your devastation is going to look like. But I do know that you don't need to suffer anymore. You don't need to be in pain to learn this. And that's why it's a fundamental sign for me that, wait a minute, this is not joyful, this is painful. I'm not happy. What's wrong? What's wrong with this situation? The change has to occur in me first. Because, man, there's a lot of light, it's great. There's nothing to be afraid of. You're going to be fine. It is these shadow figures that would make the ego holy in your sight and teach you what you do to keep it safe is really love. It's a thought reversal. The shadow figures always speak for vengeance, and all relationships into which they enter are totally insane. Without exception, these relationships have as their purpose the exclusion of the truth about the other and of yourself. This is why you see in both what is not there and make of both the slaves of vengeance. And why whatever reminds you of your past grievances attracts you and seems to go by the name of love. No matter how distorted the associations by which you arrive at the connection may be. And this is the old man. If you don't mourn and grieve those that were blown up, then you're heartless and you don't care. And to actually be in an action of the relinquishment of that, and to really know that forgiveness doesn't need to be applied to what is not true, that's a miracle. And why, whatever reminds you, I did that. And finally, why all such relationships become attempts at union through the body. For only bodies can be seen as means for vengeance. Man. Don't you love it? Here you are. All you've ever done is body. Body this, body that. There's another way of being that has nothing to do with this. Man. I'd like to know about that. I'm being told there's an eternal, loving creator. And in my little self, I'm not aware of that. I'm just trying to pay the rent. I'm just waiting to see what's for dinner over here at the cafeteria. It's all body. In the unholy relationship, it is not the body of the other which the union is attempted. Did you hear that? You're not really trying to get with the other body. You think that's the let's get our bodies together and we'll have a happy life together. But the body of those who are not there, oh my God. So the body you're with is not enough. And the whole time you're looking at other bodies because this body's not giving you what you think you need. Man, it's fucking insidious. And you really think, Jesus says, you really think you're alone unless there's another body next to you. Wow, this is why you need to know yourself. Because without that, you will think that you're alone unless there's not another body sitting next to you. Man, everything in the universe is trying to communicate to you. But you're so wound up in your conditional... All you're hearing is the insane thoughts of a thought system that's insane. Wow. This is, man, phew. Oh, I love you guys. I can't believe you're still here. But this is why it works so perfectly for me, is because I'm not afraid to look at the crap of my own mind. In that sense, I'm curious to know what the hell's there, because I don't know. But now I'm in an active remembering, bringing together those parts that have been lost to me. And the thoughts that float across my mind, and I go, wow, that's crazy. Where the hell did that come from? But I'm certainly not afraid. And you certainly can't offend me. There's nothing here to defend. There's nothing left here to defend. Say what you will about me. It's a freedom which I never thought I would ever have. But I certainly don't have any tolerance for the need to maintain an identity that's never really brought you any satisfaction. And I guess in this situation we're among friends, but it's not always that way. You start to interface with the world, and you guys are teachers. You're going out. You're going back to where you came from. I have no idea where you came from. But you do have a teaching assignment. It wasn't given to you by me. You've already signed on. And Jesus has all the time in the world. And the truth is, Jesus will help you in ways that will blow your mind. But somewhere you've got to, you know, it's a... In that sense, there is a reciprocity. You have to be willing to give up. This is the first part of the teacher's manual. Give up what you don't want. That's easy. I don't want sickness, pain, suffering, and death. Now, well, I'd really, well, do I have to give up that as well? The simplest thing is to give it all up. Because you don't know what you need. Do you know what you need in any given moment? You can say, oh, I need $1 million. But you don't really need $1 million. What the hell would you do with $1 million? You'd buy a bunch of shit and stick it in a building, which you call a house, and now you're stuck in the house with $1 million worth of stuff, hoping someone will come by so you can show it off. I mean, come on, that's an easy one. You're going to have to throw something a little... See, I don't mind if you have questions. I don't mind if you really are struggling and you have a question about what it is I'm talking about. Because I guarantee you, I don't have the answer. But I know that the light and the reasonability of our minds together will shine on that, and there's nothing that can't be sorted out. And you know what you do in your arrogance? You hang on to the little shit because you think it's not, oh, I don't want to bother Jesus with that. That's what you do, and that's what he's telling you. These are the relationships that you have even with this. Every jot and tittle, my friend. I said tittle. Never mind. Jot and tittle? No? Spanish translation? Every dot, every T has to be... No? No? How do you say that then in Spanish? Ah, yeah. The tiniest thing, every speck, every bit of it. And now we're into this is the nature of your dream. This is how you separate stuff out. I'll give my life to God, but I'll take care of some things over here myself. And the action of emptying yourself out, boy, oh boy. Welcome. So you're not alone in this. You have, you know, I'm here. You have your brothers around you. You don't have to do this alone. But you do have to do it. Ooh. How's the time, is it? Is my time up?
No, it's only 5:05.
What? By this time, you guys are thinking I should have gone to Ray's writing class. That's what I'm thinking. Well, so I'm going to read some more. Is that okay?
Yes.
We're looking. We're just down a little bit further here. Section 4. Time is indeed unkind. Same chapter. Just down a little. Chapter 4, paragraph 4. Boy, what would we have done without Ken putting all these numbers in here, eh?
Yeah.
I knew there was a reason, I couldn't At the time, I thought it was crazy, but now I understand. Time is indeed unkind to the unholy relationship, for time is cruel in the ego's hands, as it is kind when used for gentleness. The attraction of the unholy relationship begins to fade and to be questioned almost at once. Once it is formed, doubt must enter in because its purpose is impossible. The so-called ideal of the unholy relationship thus becomes one in which the reality of the other does not enter at all to spoil the dream. And the less the other really brings to the relationship, the better it becomes. Man, I love you, but please, you know, I don't want all the shit you're going to bring with, all right? It's, you got to see how ridiculous, you know, come on. And you guys are like that. I mean, it's good that you're laughing about it, I guess. This is why you can't escape. Jesus knows you perfectly well, because he knows himself. Thus, the attempt at union becomes a way of excluding even the one with whom the union was sought. Oh, I'm just reading on. No? Sorry. Did you get lost? Paragraph 4, 4. Chapter 1, what's 7? Yeah. But see, you may have different numbers. If we had the same numbers, this would be easy. Oh, section 3, chapter 17, section 3, paragraph 4, line. See? You thought he was crazy putting all these numbers in here. Did you read the first part about time is unkind? Unkind. Time is unkind? Well, we're now going to have to sit and wait for the Spanish to catch up. Off you go. You tell them. Read it, yeah? Don't rush it. Nice. See? So thus the attempt at union becomes a way of excluding even the one with whom the union was sought. She's getting... For it was formed to get him out of it and to join with fantasies in uninterrupted bliss. See, this is the nature of your necessity to utilize a body, you know, to extract. And this is part of the very next thing in to have peace, teach peace or whatever. It's the whole nature of getting. Your whole thought system is based on getting instead of giving. And that will take us back to this morning when the old man was talking about what it is you want. And you reject it, but you still have to remember that you don't want that. So now you're carrying the thing that you don't want with you as well as the thing that you think you do want. You can't tell me it's not insane. Okay. How can the Holy Spirit? Yeah? Mm-hmm. Good. How can the Holy Spirit bring his interpretation of the body as a means of communication into relationships whose only purpose is separation from reality? He's probably going to tell us. What forgiveness is enables him to do so. Nice. You don't know what forgiveness is. But what it is enables the Holy Spirit to utilize your unholy relationship. This. And actually, it's sort of like, it's more like this. Man. And now you're into it. If all but loving thoughts has been forgotten, what remains is eternal. And the transformed past is like the present. No longer does the past conflict with now. In that sense, you don't escape anything. And this is why you need to clean up your act. If you need to make amends, do it. Because otherwise you're carrying that around with you. And you can change your mind, but it's always the thing that you didn't do. And where is it? It's still in your mind. Clean up your act. Do what you've got to do to get free of the past. This continuity extends the present by increasing its reality and its value in your perception of it. It's an exchange. In these loving thoughts is the spark of beauty hidden in the ugliness of the unholy relationship where hatred is remembered, yet there to come alive as the relationship is given to him who gives it life and beauty. It's inside there, that spark. It's covered up. That's why you shouldn't be afraid to look at the crap of your own mind. Because when you look at it, you'll see that the dark crap that you thought was there, it's not there. There's nothing there. There's only light. And light extends to light. Oi. But that's the nature of what it is you've got to do. It's not difficult, but it is different. That is why at one moment centers on the past, which is the source of separation and where it must be undone. For separation must be corrected where it was made. Yes? And this is the nature of your bottom being raised up. Oh my God, my brother, who went through a complete nightmare and a shithole of an experience, so that I could then go, well, that makes complete sense to me. Why did you struggle with it for so long? because of that. And this is the nature of everyone getting the same pay, no matter when you show up in the vineyard. But this guy walked in and he's happy now and he's free. Yes, because you were willing to stand here for a moment and look at the crap of your own mind and undergo that transformative process. Is it fair? No. Does it suck just a little bit? Sure. What about it? There is nothing outside of yourself. What wouldn't you do for yourself? Wow, boy, there's just writing all over this book here at the moment. You want to play a song? What do you want to play? Play something good.